God's mercy, grace, and peace will be with you through the everlasting King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Let me read to you, even as we're going to be talking about Christ once again and his death on the cross. Hear these words from Colossians. We read them just a moment ago. Jesus is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. You may be seated. Friends, many, many years ago, there was a nurse who worked in a maternity ward. Her name was Jan Seltzer. She was on her way to work at a nearby hospital. And she had stumbled upon, first she saw a bunch of vehicles with brake lights, but she stumbled upon an accident scene. And in the midst of that accident scene was people that were kind of frantic because they could see that the one of the victims that had been driving one of the cars was a woman who was, shall we say, extremely expecting and was in a lot of trauma from the accident. And obviously, while this lady, Jan, was quite concerned about the life of the mom, being a maternity nurse, she was just as concerned about the life of the child and endeavored right then and there, knowing the trouble that was in. She knew that even if an ambulance arrived in a short time, that there's a good possibility that neither the mom nor the child were going to make it to the hospital. So she began to do what all of her years of training had taught her. And at some point, as this police and an ambulance showed up, she got herself, she had to do CPR at least once on the baby. But they finally got the child to the hospital, and remarkably, the baby survived. And it was a forgotten incident, although the young boy that was born was given the name Jeffrey. His last name was Merrick. Jeffrey Merrick was his name. And as he grew, he was always told the story about how he was born and the circumstances by which a lady who, you could call it coincidence, but you know better, somehow the Lord placed the exact person into his life to help save his life. Well, Jeffrey Merrick became a fireman. And as things would have it, one night they received a call at their fire station while he was on duty of a bad accident not far from the firehouse. They were the first unit to respond, and they noticed two things. The car was upside down. Apparently it had been driven by a woman who had been hit by somebody. It even took them a while to find who that someone or where that someone was. But she was in a lot of trouble because the strong smell of gasoline, they distinctly got the sense that the car was about to start on fire. Working frantically, but at the same time, trying to calm this woman who was still conscious, trying to calm her down, he began to speak to her. And one of the first questions he asked her was, "You see, what is your name?" But when she gave him the name Jan Seltzer, he almost stopped at his duties. The name meant something to him instantly, and he worked with even more purpose, finally being able, with the help of other firemen, to get her dragged out just in the nick of time. And before she lost consciousness, eventually she did survive. But amongst the last words, he said to her, "You know who I am, don't you?" And while she just barely was able to move her head back and forth that said no, he said, "You were the one that saved me in my accident when I was born." And she looked up just long enough to say, "You're Jeffrey." The title of my message, my friends, is "Who Saves Whom?" Because who would have ever have believed that the person who was saved one day would become the Savior? Well, in many ways, when we look at who our eternal King is on this Sunday called Christ the King, we look at somebody who looked a whole lot more like somebody who was going to need saved than somebody who was going to be able to save us. They even scoffed at him. Okay, saved others. Nice what he did. Now let's see him save himself. But he wouldn't, would he? And the reason that he wouldn't was because he didn't need saving. But the people he was dying for did. And he was willing to give up his life, to die on the cross, to open the road of salvation and the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life for me and for you. Why? What is it about our Savior and King that he would be willing to take on sinners such as us? Well, of course, that's what the love of God is all about. But to say the least, Jesus just didn't seem fit for the job of the traditional king. You go back to the Old Testament, and the people, as Israel was crying out to the prophet Samuel, give us a king. And Samuel must have been somewhat surprised when the Lord said, give them what they're asking for. But know this, they haven't rejected you, they've rejected me. And so they go about looking for a king. And what did they look for? Somebody tall, strapping, handsome, intelligent. Somebody that looked like would be the perfect person to lead them into battle. But not someone who eventually proved to be faithful. And so when the Lord had to send Samuel again to anoint somebody new after the Lord rejected Saul, the Lord sends to the house of Jesse, and Samuel sees, even he himself sees these six strapping young men and says, well, surely it's one of these over here, isn't it? Whoa, wait. It's that ugly, scrawny little runt that's caring for sheep? That guy is supposed to become the next king? As we, with the eyes of faith, see Jesus on the cross, we must have seen the same thing. Someone that we couldn't ever imagine would be the type of individual who would ever be able to save anybody from anything. But then again, being a king is not an office that has its certain pretenses that you'd better follow. The role of the king is to supply his people, to protect his people, to give his people a kingdom, hopefully an everlasting one, in which they can live in. And sometimes it's not the standard type of fanfare that you're used to seeing. Many years ago, there was this movie that came out. It starred John Goodman, and it was a movie about a fellow that they discovered somewhere here in the United States. He ended up being a distant relative, but the only relative of the King of England who had died. And his name was Ralph, and that was the name of the movie, King Ralph. I don't know if any of you ever saw that movie, but it was a movie about a guy that, to say the least, really didn't fit the mold of what you think of when you think of a king, everything prim and proper. No, this guy loved to throw darts at the local place where he'd also pick up a Lutheran beverage from time to time. He enjoyed being life that was just rather, some people would call it uncouth. And at some point he even complained and he said, I got everything I need and nothing I want. While there was this other man that was trying to train him for the role of what it really meant to give honor to the role of king. And of course, most of the movie, it looked like it was just going to be one disaster after another. But as is always the case with movies like that, by the end of the movie, he had found his niche where he could be of a benefit as a king to the country, while at the same time actually finding another heir, a person who fit the description of what the people really wanted, but not before he had made this country a better place. Friends, you look at what Jesus did for you. Our lives could not be anywhere close to where we are without him. There is nothing of any consequence that we would ever have without our Lord. He's given it all to us. You know, although Thanksgiving isn't technically a part of the church year calendar, it does fall very much at a good time. Here we are celebrating the king and all that he did, even if it came at the price of his death. And from there, we go into a time of great thanksgiving where we enjoy the great abundance that God has given us in both body and soul. And all the blessings that just continually come our way that hopefully we will take the opportunity to receive with great thanksgiving. But there's nothing more important than reminding ourselves as to the most important thing that he's given you. Because he cares enough about you that he wants you to be a part of his kingdom. That he has made you so that you get to be part of a kingdom and a true kingdom. A kingdom you're going to be delighted, excited to be a part of. A kingdom where all of a sudden the person who looked like he had lost the battle became the winner. Now here it is interesting that on the last Sunday of the church year, well removed from the season of Lent, by the way, here we are talking about the death of Jesus. And what followed? What followed the next morning was a demonstration, first of all, of how two kingdoms work. First of all, was the power of the Roman government. And although some parts of government were ruled with what was called kings, the central figure was essentially a Caesar. And they assert their power with Jesus and with two other criminals on the cross. And it would seem like their rule and their reign was affirmed that Friday afternoon. But no. Then comes Sunday morning, and the soldiers that were placed to guard the tomb in the midst of a great earthquake, in the midst of an angel going and rolling the stone away and sitting on it, fall and become like dead men. And next, inside the tomb, just the cloths that Jesus used to wear. Otherwise, it is empty. And from that moment on, my friends, the real winner of the real kingdom, of the real life that we live, it has won the battle for each one of us. And we get to be a part of his kingdom. And everything that's supposed to be, that a king is supposed to provide, we get the benefit of. A king is supposed to, you know, provide many, many blessings. And even though many, many earthly governments and earthly kings squander or in the midst of corruption or whatever else, somehow in most kingdoms of the world, the abundance that might be given to them is squandered. In the midst of a kingdom where it is supposed to be, the kingdom is supposed to be made larger and larger all the time. And no matter how large it is, you're supposed to feel an everlasting peace. And some nations will never do that. Families wake up every single morning having a pretty good idea that a member of their immediate or extended family is going to be killed in many, many countries. But in our Lord's kingdom, we are his forever, and he is ours forever. There are many people that would try to make promises to you that they are never going to be able to keep. There are people that are going to act like they are your savior, and there's nothing they're going to be able to do. But our Lord not only has, he did. And as we celebrate Christ the King today, we give thanks to God that through him, he has reconciled to himself all things, making peace by the blood of his cross. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Please note the special prayer response as we lift up our hearts in prayer for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all according to their needs. Lord God, Heavenly Father, all things were created by you. All things exist through you. All things serve your purposes. To you be glory forever and ever. For we thank you for all your goodness, for giving us life, all the gifts of body and mind, daily providing for our needs and blessing us with the joys of home and family, friends, stable government, advances in science, medicine, and arts. But above all, we thank you for the gift of our eternal King Jesus, through whom we have your choicest gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Grant that through your Spirit we may respond to your love with faith and love in lives dedicated in your kingdom to your service, as we wait for our eternal King Jesus to return in glory and receive us into his everlasting kingdom. Come, bless the Lord. Help your church to remember that the time is growing short, that the King is coming, and soon. Move your people to work untiringly and with great zeal and love to spread your word, that many may be brought by the power of the Holy Spirit to saving faith in him before the end comes. Extend that rule over all nations of the earth, and by the Spirit's power, convert more and more to faith in obedience. Come, bless the Lord. Bless our own country. Give your wisdom to those both in authority and those who have been elected who will soon be beginning their duties as government officials, that they may rule humbly, serve uprightly, lead wisely, plan intelligently. Give us freedom, justice, and unity throughout our land, and protect our homes from the evil influences of the world. Remind us that we live in a kingdom where our Savior has defeated sin, death, and the devil, and the lies of Satan and the foolishness of sinful human nature. Help all of us to love and honor each other. We remember that we are heirs of your gracious gift of eternal life. Come, bless the Lord. We pray for all people in every situation and circumstance. Lord, remember the poor and the needy. Lift up the weary and the wounded. Heal the sick and the distressed. Strengthen the aged and the infirm. Provide for the invalid and the unemployed. Give hope to the worried and depressed. And guard all facing danger or oppression. Dear Lord, we ask a special measure of your blessing this coming week on those who serve in the public sector or in the military, who may either be spending the holiday either working or separated from their families. Give them strength, encourage, and a reminder that they are never alone. We pray on behalf of Robert Benke, who's hospitalized up at Bayonet Point in Hudson. We now lift up before you someone in our own life who is going through some struggles, or someone that is known only to you, that we now name in a moment of silence. Give them, in our Savior and King, relief from their darkness and sorrow. And since you have told us that soon the last day will come when your voice will once again bring to us the heavenly joy that we lift up our hearts in salvation, give us confidence that we belong to the kingdom, which is truly an everlasting kingdom. All this we pray in the precious saving name of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, who has taught us to pray his prayer, which we now pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our service continues on page 8 in our service folders, towards the bottom, with the unison prayer closing and benediction. So we close in prayer by speaking together. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have remembered us and have promised us paradise. Give us diligence as we look for Christ's return as King to reign. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Bless we the Lord. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your home. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give. Friends, for those of you that are going to be traveling this week, safe travels. We hope to see you back again soon. For those of you that are going to be here for Thanksgiving, please join us Wednesday night at 6:30. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.